outmaneuver the cheetah. Instead of outrunning him, the cheetah will tire quickly. As a matter of fact, the cheetah only gets his gazelle burger for lunch in 1 out of 19 chases. The gazelle's primary hunter is the fastest mammal on dry ground, yet the gazelle wins almost every time. That moment, just before we take the glorious ride down, is the pinnacle point. And the ride down is glorious. The wind blows through your hair, and your feet are not on the pedals anymore, but up on the handlebars. The click, click, click of the baseball cards becomes a chattering with a sound like 1,000 crickets. You are now enjoying the ride. The coasting is the fruit of your labors. Memories of strain, sweat, and repeated near failure fade as the wind tickles your ears, whispering, "You are the king. You did it. You climbed the hill. You didn't quit. You paid the price to win." The smile in your soul says, "Accomplishment." This baby step takes us to the point where your money works harder than you do. The pinnacle point. It is the instant in time where focused gazelle intensity has reached critical mass, and your money takes on a life of its own. This point is not that you are going to quit life when you get there. You will still manage and direct, but the money thing will have its feet up, and you will be going downhill. Wealth will find its way to you. Mistakes on your tax return will be in your favor. The IRS will discover them and send you the money back with interest. Well, that's probably an impossible dream, but you get the idea. When your money makes more than you do, you are officially wealthy. When you can comfortably live on your investment income, you are financially secure. Money is a hard worker, harder than you. Money never gets sick, never gets pregnant, and is never disabled. Money works 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You have reached the pinnacle point when you can live off of 8% of your nest egg. Go ahead, multiply your nest egg by 0.08, and if you can live on that number, or that number is more than you make, you are coasting downhill. Congratulations, your money makes more than you do. Enjoy the ride. The most mature part of who you are will meet the kid inside as you learn to involve yourself in the last use of money, which is to give it away. Giving is possibly the most fun you will ever have with money. Fun is good, but you will tire of golf and travel, and if you eat enough lobster, it starts tasting like soap. Investing is good, but going around and around and around that Monopoly board eventually loses its appeal, especially after you reach the pinnacle point. Every mentally and spiritually healthy person I've met has been turned on by giving. I can promise you from meeting with literally thousands of millionaires that the thing the healthy ones share in common is a love of giving. Only the strong can help the weak, and that is true of money too.
Instead of putting that trust in plastic and the material things it provided. Since I began practicing Dave's principles, my 2 tithe checks are the most important checks I write every month. Those checks support my church, but most of all, they support my belief and faith in God, who will never change, who will never charge me interest, and unlike a credit card, will always be there for me and provide for all my needs. I strongly recommend that single parents follow the Total Money Makeover principles. It will change your spending habits, your thinking, and most important, your heart. Joyce, a single mom.
Chapter 4. Money Myths. The Non-Secrets of the Rich. Most money myths have to do with a lie about a shortcut or a lie about safety. We yearn to become healthy, wealthy, and wise with no effort and with no risk, but it will never happen. Why else is the lottery so successful in pulling in millions of dollars? Why do people stay in jobs they hate, seeking false security? The total money makeover mentality is to live like no one else. So later, we can live like no one else. A price has to be paid, and there are no shortcuts. While no one goes looking for needless pain, risk, or sacrifice, when something sounds too good to be true, It is. The myths I am going to talk about now are rooted in two basic problems. First is risk denial, thinking total safety is possible and likely. Second is easy wealth, or looking for the magic key to open the treasure chest. Risk denial takes several forms in the world of money. Sometimes risk denial is a kind of laziness when we don't want to take the energy to realize that energy is needed to win. Other times, risk denial is a kind of surrender in which we settle for a bad solution because we are so beat down or beat up that we wave the white flag and do something stupid. At still other times, risk denial can have an active component when we search for a false security that simply doesn't exist. This is the risk denial of someone who keeps a job he or she hates for 14 years because the company is, quote, secure, only to find life turned upside down by a layoff when the secure company files for bankruptcy. Money denial always involves an illusion followed by disillusionment. The Bible states that pure religion is actually helping the poor, not theorizing over why they are poor. See James 1:27. Margaret Thatcher said, "No one would have remembered the Good Samaritan if he hadn't had money." The Good Samaritan had a good heart and a heavy enough purse to pay an innkeeper to help take care of the injured man. Money was at its best that day. Money gives power to good intentions. That's why I'm unashamedly in favor of building wealth. Sadly, I meet people who try to avoid this third use of money, mistakenly thinking they will end up with more. Eric Butterworth tells of an interesting system used to capture monkeys in the jungle. The captors use heavy glass bottles with long necks. Into each bottle they deposit some sweet-smelling nuts. The aroma of the nuts attracts the monkeys to the bottles. When the monkeys put their hand into the bottle to get the nuts, the neck of the bottle is too small for a fist to come back out. The monkey can't take his hand out of the bottle without dropping the nuts, which he is unwilling to do. The bottles are too heavy to carry away, so the monkey becomes trapped by nothing more than his greed. We may smile at these foolish monkeys, but how many times has our freedom been taken away by nothing more than our greed? When you have your total money makeover, you can do some things with scale. I have one friend who buys 75 brand new bikes for an inner city ministry every year. He gets these bikes at Christmas and gives them out one at a time to kids in a subsidized housing project. Another pastor friend of mine is involved in a project called Seeds of Kindness. An anonymous member of his congregation gave $50,000 to the congregation members to give away one $100 bill at a time. These $100 bills are given human to human across the city with fabulous results. People who had completely lost faith in God and in the human race are shaken to the core by a simple $100 gift. The givers often report having more fun than the receivers. There are only three uses for money: fun, investing, and giving. You cannot claim total money makeover status until you do all three. As I said earlier, you should begin doing some of each as you go through the steps. And if you are married, let your spouse have some slack as soon as there is some. After you get past the emergency fund step, let each other function in the areas you like best. My wife Sharon is a natural saver, so she always cheats toward investing. I am a natural spender, so I make sure she has fun. We both enjoy giving. Likewise, the way out of debt is to outmaneuver the enemy and run for your life. An obvious step to working the debt snowball is to stop borrowing. Otherwise, you will just be changing the names of the creditors on your debt list. So you must draw a line in the sand and say, "I will never borrow again." As soon as you make that statement, there will be a test. Trust me. Your transmission will go out. Your kid will need braces. It is almost as if God wants to see if you are really gazelle intense. At this point, you are ready for a plastectomy, plastic surgery to cut up your credit cards. A permanent change in your view of debt is your only chance. No matter what happens, you have to pursue the opportunity or solve the challenge without debt. It has to stop. If you think you can get out of debt without huge resolve to stop borrowing, you are wrong. You can't get out of a hole by digging out the bottom. Sometimes your debt snowball won't roll. When some people do their budget, there's barely enough to make all the minimum payments and nothing extra to pay on the smallest. There is no push to get the snowball rolling. Let me offer another image to help you better understand this problem and the solution. My great-great-grandfather ran a timber operation in the hills of Kentucky and West Virginia. In that bygone era, after cutting the timber, they would put the logs into the river to float them downstream to the sawmill. The logs would build up at a bend in the river, and a traffic jam of wood occurred. Sometimes the loggers would break the jam loose by pushing the logs. Other times they would have to get radical before a real mess occurred. When it got bad, they would break the log jam by throwing dynamite into the middle of the logs that were blocking the progress. As you can imagine, this created a dramatic effect. When the dynamite blew, the logs and pieces of logs would fly into the air. After working so hard to cut the trees, some of them were a total loss. They had to blow up some of the timber to get the rest of the crop to market. That's the sacrifice the situation required. Sometimes that is what you have to do with the stopped-up budget. You have to dynamite it. You have to get radical to get the money flowing again. One way to do that is to sell something. You could sell lots of little stuff at a garage sale, sell a seldom-used item on the internet, or sell a big precious item through the classifieds. Get gazelle intense and sell so much stuff that the kids are afraid they are next. Sell things that make your broke friends question your sanity. If your budget is stopped up and your debt snowball won't roll on its own, you are going to have to get radical. Watching heroes across the nation get out of debt with gazelle intensity, believe me, I have seen them sell things. Please push that pedal one more time. Switch back if you have to. Failure is not an option. Push, push, I promise. And the tens of thousands who have reached their pinnacle point in their total money makeover promise. At the top of the hill is a glorious ride down. Take that ride with us.
Another total money makeover success story. Before we began listening to Dave Ramsey, we were a single paycheck family. We had no kids yet, but we did have debt. 2 car notes, 7 credit cards, a line of revolving credit, and a moderate retirement. We bought a nice 4,300 square foot high maintenance home for $250,000. What a mistake! The two of us didn't need that much house. There was no way to justify the payment or the wasted room. We kept trading cars to try to get a BBD, bigger, better deal, but the car equity hole kept getting deeper, or at least stayed the same. I'm not saying it's not okay to own some nice things, but the things owned us. This was demonstrated in revolving debt and increasing marital discord. The discussions in our marriage were frequently over bills. We had no budget, no kids, and no plan. When our first child was born, we'd had it with increasing bills and housing costs. We had been an occasional listener for about 2 years, and I got tired of being that doctor in debt Dave talked about on his radio show. We started to work the plan. With the birth of our second child, we had a financial rebirth. We have paid off the cars. I paid cash for a nice used car for my wife and kids. I chose to drive an older car. We sold the $250,000 house for profit to an up-and-coming politician and bought a home for $133,000 and worked on it for 2 years. We have since bought our dream fix-up home and are having a great time. We have put an addition on our keeper home and will still pay off the mortgage in 10 years or less. It is now a joy to use money and not dread another money discussion. Doing the total money makeover taught us more about each other than any marriage counselor could. We now communicate openly and enjoy being a doctor out of debt, except for the mortgage. John, a physician.
Chapter 13, Live Like No One Else. You started this audiobook financially flabby, overweight with debt, out of shape in savings, and in desperate need of a personal trainer. However, there is a problem with following the Total Money Makeover plan. The problem is simply that it's a proven plan because it works. If you follow the system, it will work. It will work so well that you are going to become wealthy over the next 20 to 40 years. The second underlying problem is the quest for easy wealth. Quick, easy money is one of the oldest lies or myths in the book of the human race. The secrets of the rich don't exist because the principles aren't a secret. There is no magic key, and if you are looking for one, you've set yourself up for pain and the loss of money. One of my pastors says that living right is not complicated. It may be difficult, but it is not complicated. Living right financially is the same way. It is not complicated. It may be difficult, but it is not complicated. In addition to debt myths, we must dispel several other money myths as part of your total money makeover. Most of these money myths are rooted in the problems we've already discussed, denial and/or a shortcut mentality. Myth: everything will be fine when I retire. I know I'm not saving yet, but it will be okay. Truth: Ed McMahon is not coming. How can I put this delicately? There is no shining knight headed your way on a white horse to save the day. Wake up. This is the real world where sad old people eat Alpo. Please don't be under the illusion that this government, one that is so inept and dim-witted with money, is going to take care of you in your golden years. That is your job. This is an emergency. The house is on fire. You have to save. You have to invest for your future. You won't be fine. Do you get the picture? Things won't be okay unless you make them that way. Your destiny and your dignity are up to you. You are in charge of your retirement. We'll talk about how to take charge of it later, but for now, you'd better be 100% convinced that this area deserves your full attention right now, not tomorrow or pretty soon. Myth: gold is a good investment and will cover me if the economy collapses. Truth: gold has a poor track record and isn't used when an economy collapses. Gold is a lousy investment with a long track record of mediocrity. The average rates of return tracked as far back as Napoleon are around 2% gain per year. In recent history, gold has a 50-year track record of around 4.4%, about the same as inflation, and just above savings accounts. During that same time frame, you would have made around 12% in a good growth stock mutual fund. The truth is that gold is not used when economies fail. History shows that when an economy completely collapses, the first thing that appears is a black market barter system in which people trade items for other items or services. Myth: I can get rich quickly and easily if I join these groups, buy this tape set, and work 3 hours a week. One lady sold 350 goldfish from her pond for $1 each. Men have sold their Harleys, boats, knife collections, or baseball cards. Ladies have even sold things like non-family antiques. Keep the heirlooms because you can't get them back. I don't recommend selling your home unless you have payments above 45% of your monthly take-home pay. Usually the home isn't the problem. I do recommend that most people sell the car with the most debt on it. A good rule of thumb on items except the house is this: if you can't be debt-free on it in 18 to 20 months, sell it. If you have a car or a boat that you can't pay off in 18 to 20 months, sell it. It is just a car. Dynamite the logjam. I used to love my car too, but I found keeping that huge debt while trying to get out of debt was like running a race wearing ankle weights. The number of people I talk to about this who will not throw dynamite into their logjam to get the money flowing makes me sad. They can see that the logs will never get to market. They will never have wealth, but they just can't stand the thought of blowing up a few of them so the rest will get down the river. Translation: I love my stupid car more than the idea of becoming wealthy enough to give cars away. Don't make that mistake. More income will break up your logjam. If your budget is too tight to get the debt snowball rolling, working extra hours can increase income in order to increase the speed of debt repayment. I don't like the idea of working 100 hours per week, but sometimes extreme situations require extreme solutions. Temporarily, just for a manageable period of time, the extra job or overtime may be your solution. I picked up a pizza last night, and as the guy behind the counter started walking toward his car with the stack of pizzas to be delivered, he saw me and stopped. Smiling, he said, "Hey, Dave, I'm here because of you. Only 3 more months and I'm debt-free." This was not some 17-year-old teenager. This was a dad, a 35-year-old guy who wants to be free. There is a young single guy that works on my team. He is gazelle intense about becoming debt-free. He works here until 5:30 every day, and he smiles as he leaves to work for UPS for another 4 or 5 hours virtually every night. Why are all these guys smiling? They work hard and unbelievable extra hours, so why would they smile? They smile because they've caught the vision of living like no one else, so later they can live like no one else. "What about saving for retirement while the snowball's rolling?" Matt asked me on the radio show about another subject that people have trouble with on Baby Step 2. Matt wanted to know if he should stop his 401k contributions to get his debt snowball moving. Truth, no one develops and makes a six-figure income on 3 hours a week. Have you seen the midnight infomercial about ordering a tape set with the secrets so that you too can become wildly wealthy by buying nothing down real estate or by learning the hidden formula to success in the stock market? Sounds too good to be true? It is. Small business ideas abound, such as getting rich at home by stuffing envelopes and doing medical billing. Be realistic. Envelopes are stuffed by machines at a rate of thousands a minute and at a cost of tenths of a penny. They are not stuffed by stay-at-home moms trying to supplement the family income. One person in every 1,000 who attempts the oversold, overdone medical billing concept does so at a profit. The legitimate, profitable medical biller is usually someone who came from the medical industry, not someone who got ripped off taking a weekend course. Don't fall for this. Real estate can be purchased for nothing down, but then you owe so much on it that there is no cash flow. I bought foreclosure and bankruptcy real estate for years and know it can be done, but the players with cash are the ones who win. The good deals are 1 in 200 if you are experienced and very good in real estate. I worked 60 hours a week, and it took me years to get to a six-figure income in that world. The stock market attracts the brightest business minds on the planet. These mega nerds study, track, chart, eat, and breathe the stock market and have for generations. Still, every other year, a book or con artist comes out claiming to have discovered little-known keys, patterns, or trends that will make you rich. The Beardstown ladies published a New York Times bestseller about their cute little quilting group who started investing and discovered how to get unbelievable returns. As it turns out, the whole thing was a fraud, and they never got those reported returns, and the publisher got sued. It is really hard to sell books and tapes that teach the necessity of lots of hard work, living on less than you make, getting out of debt, and living on a plan, but I'm trying, because it's the only way that will work. Meanwhile, the sooner you understand that no one gets rich quick by using secret information, the better. Myth: cash value life insurance, like Whole Life, will help me retire wealthy. Truth: cash value life insurance is one of the worst financial products available. Sadly, over 70% of the life insurance policies sold today are cash value policies. A cash value policy is an insurance product that packages insurance and savings together. Do not invest money in life insurance. The returns are horrible. The problem with becoming wealthy is that you stand a chance of becoming enamored with wealth. According to Proverbs 10:14, a rich man's wealth can become his walled city. In Bible times, the wall around the city was the city's protection from the enemy. If you get from your wealth the idea that you are some big deal because you gathered some money, you missed the essence of a total money makeover. The wealthy person who is ruled by his stuff is no more free than the debt-ridden consumer we've picked on throughout this audiobook. Anton Rivaroli said, "There are men who gain from their wealth only the fear of losing it. Since you have been learning a wealth-building system from me, you might think I believe stuff is the answer to happiness, emotional well-being, and spiritual maturity. On the contrary, I see a real spiritual danger in having great wealth. The danger is old-fashioned materialism." In his great book, Money, Possessions, and Eternity, author Randy Alcorn discusses a disease running amok in America, affluenza. Affluenza is a malady that affects some of the affluent and their children, because some of the affluent and their children seek happiness, solace, and fulfillment in the consuming of stuff, they end up depressed and even suicidal. They discover bumper sticker wisdom. He who dies with the most toys is still dead. Stuff is wonderful. Get some stuff. But don't let the pursuit of wealth become your God. My wife and I are concerned that our wealth be a blessing and not a curse to our children. So we are tough on our kids regarding work, saving, giving, and spending issues. When one of my kids was a teenager, she complained to me, "Do you know how tough it is being Dave Ramsey's kid, Dad? You're so hard on us, making us buy our own cars, manage our own checkbook. You cut us no slack." I replied that we are tough on them because one day they will inherit our wealth, and that wealth will either ruin their life or become a tool for great good. While wealth is fun, it comes with great responsibility. Another paradox is that wealth will make you more of what you are. If you are a jerk and you become wealthy, you will be the king of jerks. If you are generous and you become wealthy, you will be most generous. If you are kind, wealth will allow you to show kindness in immeasurable ways. If you feel guilty, wealth will ensure that you feel guilty for the rest of your life. The love of money, not money, is the root of all evil. As a Christian, I am amazed how certain political and religious groups have decided that wealth is evil. Many of the heroes of biblical faith, of world history, and of our nation were very wealthy. He really didn't want to stop contributing, especially the first 3%, because his company matches that 100%. I am a math nerd, and I know the 100% match is sweet, but I have seen something more powerful: focused intensity. If you are going to be gazelle intense and do everything in your power to become debt-free very quickly, then stop your retirement plan contributions, even if your company matches them. If you are radically gazelle intense, the speed of your debt freedom will enable you to return to that 401k with the match in just a matter of months. Imagine how much you'll be able to contribute without payments. The average person who throws the dynamite and is gazelle intense will be debt-free except for their home in 18 months. If for some reason you are stuck in an extremely deep hole, you may want to continue doing some retirement saving. An extremely deep hole is not defined by your unwillingness to apply yourself. Penny's air conditioner went out in the dead of summer. The repairs were $650, which she took from her emergency fund. Now what does she do? Penny needs to put the debt snowball temporarily on hold. She will continue to make minimum payments and go back to the first step until she gets back up to $1,000 in her emergency fund. If she doesn't, soon she will have nothing in savings, and when the alternator on the car goes out, she will reopen some credit card account, and the same applies to you. If you use the emergency fund, return to baby step one until you have refunded your beginner emergency fund. Then move right back to your debt snowball, baby step two. Because of debt consolidation loans and other mistakes, many people have a home equity loan or some kind of large second mortgage. What should be done with this loan? Is it put in the debt snowball or just called a mortgage and not dealt with at this step? Generally speaking, if your second mortgage is more than 50% of your gross annual income, you should not put it in the debt snowball. We will get to it later. If you have a small business loan or have borrowed on your credit cards for business, this is personal debt. Treat small business debt like any other kind of debt. List it with your other debts, smallest to largest, in the debt snowball. If your business debt is larger than half your gross annual income or half your home mortgage, hold the payoff on that size debt until later. The only other larger debt to delay is mortgages on rental properties. Stop buying more rental property, but hold that debt payment until later. After your home mortgage is paid off, in a later baby step, you should snowball your rental mortgages. Other than the home mortgage, larger second mortgages, business loans, rental mortgages are the only things that aren't paid off in baby step two. If you are fired up, normally this will happen within 18 to 20 months. Your insurance person will show you wonderful projections, but none of these policies perform as projected. Let's look at an example. If a 30-year-old man has $100 per month to spend on life insurance and shops the top five cash value companies, he will find he can purchase an average of $125,000 in whole life insurance for his family. The pitch is to get a policy that will build up savings for retirement, which is what a cash value policy does. However, if the same guy purchases 20-year level term insurance with coverage of $125,000, the cost will only be $7 per month, not $100. Wow! If he goes with the cash value option, the other $93 per month would be in savings, right? Well, not really. You see, there are expenses. Expenses? How much? All of the $93 per month disappears in commissions and expenses for the first 3 years. After that, the return will average 2.6% per year for whole life, 4.2% for universal life, and 7.4% for the new and improved variable life policy that includes mutual funds. These statistics are from Consumer Reports, Consumer Federation of America, Kiplinger's Personal Finance, and Fortune Magazine. So these are the real numbers. Worse yet, with whole life and universal life, the savings you finally build up after being ripped off for years don't go to your family upon your death. The only benefit paid to your family is the face value of the policy, the $125,000 of our example. The truth is that you would be better off to get the $7 term policy and put the extra $93 in a cookie jar. At least after 3 years, you would have $3,000, and when you died, your family would get your savings. As you continue in this book and learn how to have a total money makeover, you will begin investing well. Then, when you're 57 and the kids are grown and gone, the house is paid for, and you have $700,000 in mutual funds, you've become self-insured. That means when your 20-year term is up, you shouldn't need life insurance at all, because with no kids to feed, no house payment, and $700,000, your spouse will just have to suffer through if you die without life insurance. Myth: playing the lotto and other forms of gambling will make you rich. Truth: lotto and Powerball are a tax on the poor and people who can't do math. It is a ripoff instituted by our government. This is not a moral position. It is a mathematical, statistical fact. Studies show that the zip codes that spend four times what anyone else does are those in lower income parts of town. The lotto or gambling of any kind offers false hope, not a ticket out. Myth: mobile homes or trailers will allow me to own something instead of renting, and that will help me to become wealthy. Truth: trailers go down in value rapidly, making your chances for wealth building less than if you had rented. Many people find a way to shorten the time with sheer intensity, and God tends to pour blessings on people going in a direction He wants them to go. The debt snowball is very possibly the most important step in your total money makeover for two reasons. One, you free up your most powerful wealth building tool, your income, during this step. Two, you take on the entire American culture by declaring war on debt. By paying off your debt, you show that the total money makeover of your heart has occurred. paving the way for a total money makeover of your actual wealth. Chapter 8, finish the emergency fund. Kick Murphy out. When you reach this step, you have $1,000 cash and no debt except your home mortgage. You have pushed with such focused intensity that the ball is now rolling, and you have momentum on your side. You are beginning to see the power of being in control of your largest wealth-building tool, your income. Now that you don't have any payments except the house, baby step 3 should come quickly. A fully funded emergency fund covers 3 to 6 months of expenses. What would it take for you to live 3 to 6 months if you lost your income? Financial planners and financial counselors like myself have used this rule of thumb for years, and it has served my Total Money Makeover participants well. You start the emergency fund with $1,000, but a fully funded emergency fund will usually range from $5,000 to $25,000. The typical family that can make it on $3,000 per month might have a $10,000 emergency fund as a minimum. What would it feel like to have no payments but the house and $10,000 in savings for when it rains? Remember what we said about emergencies. It will rain. You need an umbrella. I'm going to bang on this drum again because it is vital if your makeover is going to be permanent. The worst time to borrow is when times are bad. In a recent Gallup poll, 78% of Americans said they would borrow on a credit card if a rainy day came, and it wouldn't be difficult. I agree, it wouldn't be difficult because credit cards are issued to dogs and dead people every year. But that doesn't mean it would be smart. A poll in Parenting Magazine said 49% of Americans could cover less than 1 month's expenses if they lost their income. Half of this culture has virtually no buffer between them and life. Here comes Murphy! Remember how we discussed that problems seem to be, and I believe actually are, less frequent when you have your fully funded emergency fund. Don't forget that the emergency fund actually acts as Murphy repellent. So what is an emergency? Emergencies include paying the deductible on medical, homeowners, or car insurance after an accident, a job loss or cutback, medical bills resulting from an accident or unforeseen medical problems, or a blown transmission or engine in a car that you need to function. All these are emergencies. Something on sale that you need is not an emergency. I want to start a business is not an emergency. Prom dresses and college tuition are not emergencies. Beware not to rationalize the use of your emergency fund for something that you should save for and purchase, including King David, Solomon, Job, and most of our founding fathers. There is a negative mindset justifying money mediocrity that is maddening. Wealth is not evil, and people who possess it aren't evil by virtue of the wealth. If you are a good person, it is your spiritual duty to possess riches for the good of mankind. If you are a Christian like me, it is your spiritual duty to possess riches so that you can do with them things that bring glory to God. The bottom line is, if you take the stand that managing wealth is evil or carnal, then by default you leave all the wealth to the evil carnal people. If wealth is spiritually bad, then good people can't have it, so all the bad people get it. It is the duty of the good people to get wealth, because the good people will do good with it. If we all abandon money because some misguided souls view it as evil, then the only ones with money will be the pornographer, the drug dealer, or the pimp. Simple enough? I think you can tell by now that the Total Money Makeover is more than just a discussion on money issues. The Total Money Makeover makes you face the man or woman in the mirror. Facing that man or woman makes us face emotional, relational, physical, and even spiritual aspects of our lives. The wealthy people that I know who are fulfilled didn't just have a total money makeover, they had a life makeover. Because personal finance is 80% behavior and 20% head knowledge, you will either make your life over in this process or you will end up miserable. I'm being very spiritual here at the end, but the spiritual is a legitimate aspect of behavior. I see well-rounded, mature people who become all God designed them to be when they get their money closets cleaned out. God has a plan for your life, and that plan isn't to harm you. It is a plan for your future, to give you hope. See Jeremiah 29:11. Hope is what I want you to walk away from this audiobook with. Hope that you can be like the people whose stories I told in this audiobook. Hope that you can turn your money troubles into money triumphs. Hope that you can retire with dignity. Hope that you can change your family tree because by building wealth you leave an inheritance. Hope that you can give money in a way you have never given it before. It is time for you to become a gazelle. It is time for you to apply these principles. They are age-old principles and they work. Tens of thousands of ordinary people just like you and me have become debt-free and even wealthy using this plan. It isn't magic. It is common sense. The exciting thing is, anyone can do this. Anyone. Are you next? I hope so. It is time for you to become a gazelle.